This episode is brought to you in part by our friends and sponsors Ricky and Kelly at Groenfell Meadery in Vermont. They say be on the lookout for the Ancient Collection from Groenfell, historic, high-strength meads in handmade ceramic bottles that'll be available this holiday season. In the meantime, order delicious craft meads delivered to your door at groenfell.com. That's Groenfell. Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, November 5th, 2020. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. This week, Gamal Terzin, author of A Year of Good Beer, A Page-a-Day Calendar, joins us to talk about malt vinegar. Turn your beer into a tasty, tart condiment for fish and other delicious foods. If you go to basicbrewing.com, you can find archives of our audio and video shows. And if you go to basicbrewingshop.com, you can find our DVDs and our brewer's logbooks. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Basic Brewing and find our show page on Facebook as well. If you want to support us financially, check out patreon.com/basicbrewing. And many thanks to everybody who is helping out that way. If you go to patreon.com/basicbrewing, you can see a long list of stuff that you can access if you sign up as a supporter. Steve Wilkes and I of Steve'sBrewShop.com got together this week to record a video episode on my take of a Dampf beer. That's the, if you'll remember, that's the style that Adam Ross of Twin Span Brewing introduced us to, it uses wheat beer yeast on a barley beer, kind of a farmhouse style. I'm pretty happy with the way mine turned out. I used Munich malt, most of it is the 10 Love Bond, but then there's a little bit of the 20. And I think it's a nice balance of the caramely characteristics of that malt and the fun flavors coming from the yeast. I used Imperial G01 Stefan for that one. We also recorded our next malt sampler show that featured black malts, Midnight Wheat, Black Prinz, and Black Patent. That was a fun show to do. They're all super delicious beers, and you know, it may inspire the next full batch beer that I brew because I was so impressed with those, the combinations. Were we able to pick which was which? Well, tune in to find out here in a couple weeks. I also, on the home brewing front, I kegged my version of a recipe that was inspired by a recipe of mine this week. Our friend Greg McGill down at Brewocracy down in Hamilton, New Zealand, challenged me to come up with a collaboration recipe. Greg has been listening since the very, very beginning, back in 2005. I picked, you know, he asked me for a recipe, and I picked my rye wit, which is not really a wit, but it's a low-gravity beer with only rye and wheat in the malt bill. And Greg took up the challenge, but he hopped it up with a bunch of Nelson Sauvin hops and a bit of Centennial. So, you know, kind of a cross-cultural blend there. When I tasted the wort, the unfermented wort, I was a little afraid that the beer was going to be too bitter. But I think it turned out great. And with an ABV of only 1.7%, it's going to be good going into the holiday season to counteract all the goodies that we'll have. I plan to have Greg on the show in the future to talk about how his Kiwi customers liked the beer, or if they didn't. I brewed that beer with the AO7 Flagship from our friends and sponsors at Imperial Organic Yeast, and the Flagship really let that hop character shine. And speaking of Imperial Organic Yeast, we have a new recipe from Imperial on the basicbrewing.com/recipes site. That's our small but growing collection of tasty recipes on basicbrewing.com. This month's is called Palaver Porter. Hope I'm pronouncing that right. From Chris Toscano of the Imperial Customer Service Team. Palaver is apparently a Scottish word meaning unnecessarily elaborate or complex procedure. Chris named this porter that way because it has seven different malts: Pilsner, Victory, Vienna, Kara Crystal Wheat, German Carafa 1, German Carahel, and Flaked Barley. Mmm! It sounds delicious. Palaver Porter uses Imperial A31 tartan yeast, which is a traditional strain that accentuates the malt character of Scottish and other malt-forward styles, but it can also be used for other styles and works well in IPAs due to its clean fermentation character. Check out Chris's recipe on basicbrewing.com/recipes, or you can just hit the recipe button up there in the menu bar just by going to basicbrewing.com. You know we love Imperial Organic Yeast. I like to say my stir plate is dusty because I don't use it to make starters anymore for moderate gravity 5-gallon batches. With an industry topping 200 billion cells per easy-to-open package, fermentation is a breeze. Ask your local homebrew shop for Imperial Organic Yeast and check them out at imperialyeast.com. That's imperialyeast.com. I'm getting a lot of good disaster stories for our end-of-the-year disaster show. And there may also be a multimedia component, thanks to a spooky video that I got yesterday. ASMR fans will be very happy. It seems like the theme this year is spraying and or exploding. So be sure to put that on your disaster show bingo card after you print that out. Steve Wilkes and I are planning to record in early December, so please get your stories in by the end of November. Send them to james@basicbrewing.com. You know what would lessen your chances of having a brewing disaster? A Warthog electric brewing system from our friends and sponsors Desiree and Dave from High Gravity in Tulsa. Let's face it, there's no guarantee that you won't have a disaster of some sort with any system, but, you know, human nature. But you know what you won't have with a high-gravity electric system? The cold winter wind blowing out your propane burner or stealing your heat away, running out of propane in the middle of the boil, a dramatic loss of heat as you wrap your old-fashioned mash tun in your grandma's homemade quilt. A Warthog system from highgravitybrew.com will take the pain out of propane. My Warthog EBC-130 system is the controller is like a brew buddy, heating up the strike water for me, keeping an eye on the mash temperature, and maintaining a nice, steady rolling boil. You've seen it on the show. I have the single-vessel 240-volt system, but you can design your own system from 5 gallons all the way up to 2 barrels. Single, dual, or three-vessel configurations. And, if you insist, you can buy electric systems from other manufacturers from highgravitybrew.com. Configure the electric system of your dreams and tell Santa all about it. And if you use the code EBC75BB, you can save $75 off your electric gear purchase. That's at family-owned and operated highgravitybrew.com. That's highgravitybrew.com. Okay, I don't think we've talked about malt vinegar before. Those who have gone through the archives may prove me wrong, but if we have talked about it, it's been so long that it's time for a revisit. Let's talk to Amal Terzin. Amal Terzin, welcome to Basic Brewing Radio.
Thank you, James. Happy to be here.
Well, welcome. I was reading Zymergy magazine, and I saw your article on malt vinegar, and I said, you know what? I don't think we've talked about malt vinegar on the show. So I said, oh, I'll just have Amal on, and we'll knock that out. So it's amazing that we've found a topic that in 15 years plus we haven't talked about.
That's great.
So tell us about yourself. Introduce yourself, Amal.
Well, I've been brewing for about 35 years. And I started off in San Luis Obispo, and I did it professionally for about 7 years. So I just homebrew now and do a little bit of writing about beer and a little bit of editing for a couple of beer magazines, the New Brewer, which is a trade magazine, and Zymergy, which is a homebrew magazine. But I love talking about beer, and always willing to do so. Malt vinegar is one of those things that you can play with if you happen to have a batch of beer that you're not quite satisfied with. I've always found that it's a good sort of secondary process that you can get into.
But and some people in the listening now have probably accidentally made malt vinegar.
Well, Acetobacter are tenacious little creatures, and they can ruin a brewery. So you really have to exercise caution when you're making beer and vinegar in the same locale.
Now, let's step back a second. And where I'm familiar with the malt vinegar, or at least my introduction to malt vinegar, was on the table of the local Long John Silver's. I don't know that I had heard of malt vinegar before, you know, I saw that, you know, as a teenager. So what exactly is malt vinegar?
Well, most people are familiar with wine vinegar and cider vinegar, but really you can take any ethanol solution and add acetobacter, a culture, and it will, those bacteria will change the ethanol into acetic acid. And that, of course, is what makes the vinegar tart. So malt vinegar is simply the same process, only you're starting with a malt-based fermentation.
Now, you say that any beer can be made into malt vinegar, but are there better beers or beers that are better at being malt vinegar than others?
Absolutely. Really, what you want to do is start with little to no hop bitterness. Because bitter malt vinegar is just not that great. So it doesn't really matter how strong the beer is, because you would want to dilute it before you start the vinegar process, ideally between 5.5 and 7% alcohol is where you want to be. But pretty much any beer style, as long as it's not heavily hopped, will work, and for that matter, mead or Braggot.
Huh. I hadn't thought about that. So do you get a lot of the residual flavors of the beer in the final vinegar product?
You do. I made one from a Braggot that I really enjoyed. Most recently, there was a Doppelbock that just didn't quite attenuate like it should. I am a big proponent of drier beers. I like malty beers, but I don't want them just cloying and sticky. Hmm. I've done a Scotch ale before, and there's one. It was actually a wee heavy that I made in 1998, and I was working at a health food store at the time. I got a really good deal on a bucket of malt extract. Well, I decided to go with a 39 Plato original gravity wee heavy, and it was, of course, very, very lightly hopped. Well, it only got down to 11 Plato. That was the finishing gravity, and it just was undrinkable. So made that one into vinegar, and it was actually probably my most successful vinegar to date. It was it's very malty. You get a nice malt aroma. And of course, it's been aging for, you know, years now, and aging tends to mellow your malt vinegars. So, this stuff is great, but there are lots of lighter styles. They don't have to be heavy. I would imagine doing a something like a wit beer would make a really nice vinegar, which you could then spice with coriander and fresh orange peel. That might be great with something like, you know, moules frites or something like that. So, wide variety of styles.
Now, we here at the house don't use a lot of vinegar. Do you, when you make malt vinegar, do you make full 5-gallon batches?
Not intentionally. I usually try and keep them fairly small. You know, a gallon is a lot of vinegar. Like you, I enjoy making hot sauces, but malt vinegar tends to be a little harsh for hot sauce. You can use it for pickling, and of course, it's great, you know, with any sort of fried food, onion rings, tempura, and of course, you know, fish and chips. Mm-hmm. So lots of culinary uses, but no, you don't go through a whole lot, so you don't want to go crazy with your batch's size.
Christmas presents. That's
what. There you go.
Birthday presents. Oh, here comes them all with his vinegar.
Yeah, I know. Thank you very much. We'll just throw this in the trash, right?
So speaking of throwing things in the trash, you don't want to risk making garbage out of your clean beers. So in the article, you recommend having just a completely different set of gear for your vinegar and marking it as such.
Absolutely, yeah. It's very easy to transfer and cross contaminate. Those acetobacter tend to stay in things like plastic hoses and plastic buckets. And you really, you know, when you ferment vinegar, you want to do it in a wide vessel. So I know a lot of homebrewers would be tempted to use the old dependable 5-gallon bucket. But if you're using it for brewing, it's going to transfer over and you'll get large batches of vinegar that you don't want. So yeah, if you can sort of remove the process from where you usually do your brewing, and especially fermenting, those bacteria have a way of traveling. Mm. So just exercise extreme caution.
So like move it to the garage or move it to the basement or move it to wherever your brewing is not.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I have all my vinegar works and equipment I keep under the sink in the basement, away from my brewery operations. And knock on wood, I've been lucky so far.
Now, where do we get started? I mean, how do you find the bugs to turn beer into vinegar?
Well, the best policy is to really go to your local homebrew shop. Most of them carry what's called a mother, which is the culture, and it's just this big, ugly, rubbery thing that usually comes in a jar, and you can just purchase those at the brew shop and do that. You can also go to your local market. A lot of markets sell organic apple cider vinegar with the mother, and it will say that on the label. That's perfectly okay to use too as a starter culture.
Huh. So it sounds a whole lot like kombucha.
Yes. In fact, the SCOBY, that symbiotic culture of yeast and bacteria that's used for kombucha brewing, is very similar to a vinegar mother. It's just that the vinegar mother is just the acetic bacteria. Hmm. without the yeast. So
do you have to make a starter before you pitch it into your beer?
No, you don't. It's actually very simple. And also the nice thing is, you know, once you start your acetic fermentation and that process gets going, it takes a couple of months usually, but then it will form a pellicle, kind of a rubbery lid on top of the liquid. And that's your mother, and it'll sink down into the liquid later. But you can save that in a jar and use it for subsequent batches of vinegar.
Hmm. So typically, when you look at kombucha, the SCOBY or the mother floats on the top.
Mm-hmm.
But does the vinegar mother live on the bottom, or after it's done, does it go to the bottom?
Yeah, it'll stay on the top for a while, and then it'll eventually dislodge and float to the bottom. Although I've had them stay on top for a long time too, they kind of get stuck there.
How long will a mother last?
Indefinitely, if you keep feeding it.
Hmm.
So they're tenacious little bugs, and they'll stay together in that colony. And there is actually a process called the Orleans process of making vinegar, where it's a bit like the Solera technique, where you have a barrel or a drum that you cover, and you just continually feed this your ethanol solution, and it will take 2 or 3 months to finish out. You'll remove 3/4 of the batch of vinegar, and then you'll replace that with your new ethanol solution, and you'll just keep that going.
Hmm. And I imagine that way you could kind of temper your the product. I mean, you could take some out before it's completely done, maybe, and put it in the fridge and save it there.
Well, you want to make sure that it completely finishes, and your nose will tell you when it's done, because it breaks down ethanol into acetic acid, but there are a couple a couple of compounds sort of along the way that aren't too pleasant. One of them is ethyl acetate, which kind of smells like nail polish remover. So that's not something that you want. Acetaldehyde is another one. And as you know, that is sort of a green apple aromatic. And I've had batches that still have a little bit of that in there, and they just need more time, a little more oxygen perhaps, and correct temperatures to finish out.
So with the kombucha, I guess a little less of a complex fermentation maybe, because, you know, you can steal some out of there while it's still a little bit sweet, you know, if that's your preference.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as long as you don't, you know, put it in a pressurized vessel, it's going to blow up if it, you know, keeps working. You can enjoy it, you know, before it's completely done. But it sounds like this vinegar fermentation, you have to be a little bit more patient.
Yes, you do. You really want it to be absolutely done before you bottle it. But once your nose tells you and you taste a little bit and it tastes, you know, like clean vinegar, then you can add whatever spices you want or herbs. You know, tarragon is a classic one for wine vinegar. Then you can bottle it, and you want to bottle it without oxygen.
Hmm.
Oxygen is necessary to get it where it's going, but it is possible for your acetic acid to be converted back to water and CO2 if it's exposed to too much oxygen. So you want to bottle it without O2. And some people also pasteurize their vinegars.
Huh. So when you're making the product, you put your beer in your bucket that you say goodbye to, as far as the normal brewing. And just toss in the mother. I mean, is it wise to add oxygen at that time?
You can certainly splash. You know, when you're using a beer, it's probably going to be a little bit carbonated. So you want to get that carbonation out. So you want to treat it like you would a mead, where you kind of whisk it, get all the gas out, and then, as I mentioned earlier, you want sort of a wide fermenter, which can be a mason jar if you want, if you're making a small batch. And then, yeah, it's just as easy as adding the mother. If you're going with the apple cider vinegar with the mother, you want the sediment from the bottom, but the vinegar also will contain acetobacter. So it's very, very easy to pitch and go with this process.
Now, with the beer, you'd want to put an airlock on to keep the CO2 in and the oxygen out. But what's the approach with vinegar?
With vinegar, it's just the opposite. You want as much exposure to oxygen as possible. So you would just cover it with cheesecloth or something that will keep out insects. Now, fruit flies are a big pain with vinegar making. They will get in because they absolutely love the stuff. So you want to keep them out, and cheesecloth is a great way to do it, or some sort of screening on top.
I've seen a video on YouTube where they chose the wrong kind of cheesecloth that was a little too, you know, the gaps were a little too wide, and the flies actually got in there. that wasn't very pretty.
No.
So make sure that your cheesecloth is of the thread count where, you know, the little flies can't get in there.
Yeah. Otherwise you end up with a super crunchy salad.
Ooh. A little extra protein, as they say.
There you go. It just tastes like vinegar.
And I'm sure it's safe. You know, all that acid, you know, is probably legal disclaimer. It's probably not safe. Let's take a quick break from talking to Amal to talk about our friends and sponsors at Tavor. If you listen to the show, you know about Tavor. It's a way to select delicious craft beers that you may not be able to find in your area and have them delivered to you. How handy. It's not a beer of the month club when someone chooses beer for you, and it's a surprise when it comes at your door. You only pay for the beer that you choose over the course of the month. Signing up for Tavor is free. Just create an account at Tavor.com. That's T-A-V as in Victor, O-U-R.com. and download their iPhone or Android app. You'll receive notifications for two new beers each day that are available for purchase with in-depth tasting notes from Philip at Tavor. This month, look for selections from W.A. Meadworks, Best of Hands Barrel House, Alpha Acid, Cider Core, Charlestown Fermentary, Adventurous Brewing, and Pivot Brewing. If you're not interested in the beers that you see every day, no worries, just skip the ones you don't want. However, when you see something that you do want, and you will, just click on it and add it to your crate. Your beer arrives fresh every few weeks, allowing you enough time to fill a box and pay the least shipping. Why don't you check it out? It doesn't cost anything to sign up, and there's no obligation to purchase anything. In fact, if I can ask you a favor, go to Tavor.com, T-A-V as in Victor, O-U-R.com, or download the app, and when you sign up, enter the promo code BASICBREWING, all one word, and you'll get $10 off your first shipment of $25 or more. Again, it's free to sign up, and there's no obligation to purchase. Sign up at Tavor.com or with the Tavor app and enter Basic Brewing as the promo code. So how long do we wait? Is there a benefit to aging?
Those are two separate questions. You want to make sure that you not only have sufficient oxygen, you also want the right temperature range, which is ideally 80 to 85 degrees Fahrenheit.
Ooh.
And you want it steady. You don't want it to be fluctuating. But at that temperature and with sufficient oxygen, you're looking at 4 to 6 weeks, probably.
And how can you tell when it's done? Just the smell?
Yeah, just sampling it. You probably want to leave it alone for the first month, but then you can go in. I have a little syringe that I can go into, you know, a bucket with. Just take a little bit out because you don't need much. And just smell it, taste it. And if you detect some of that green apple from acetaldehyde, you want to let it go. Maybe whisk it a little bit, get more oxygen in. But yeah, the best way is really sensory evaluation.
And then you could bottle it at that time, but there are other also some other options, more interesting options for your vinegar.
Yeah, it's certainly okay to pasteurize it. It needs to be between 140 and 160 degree Fahrenheit for 30 minutes. You can do that with a hot water bath. And then once it's pasteurized, you know, all those bacteria are killed off, and it's stable, and it'll be stable indefinitely.
Hmm.
So that's a great idea for making gifts. But you can also bottle it with flavorings, as we've mentioned. You can do herbs or spices.
And what about the barrel aging?
Barrel aging is another direction to go, and, you know, as you mentioned before, kind of say goodbye to that barrel because it's not going to be good for anything else. But but the wood does tend to mellow out the vinegar quite quickly. You can also use the wood chips that you find at your local homebrew shop. So you can age in glass with wood chips. But, you know, 4 to 6 months of aging can really do wonders for mellowing out your vinegar. It's going to be hot and spicy when it's first done, just really sharp, acetic. But that'll the flavors tend to mellow after a couple of months, especially if you're using wood.
Yeah, it sounds delicious. With the vinegar probably taking up some of the tannins and the vanilla and such as that from the wood. Sounds great.
If you have a nice malty beer like a Doppelbach or a Scotch ale, you know, you really get that that sort of barrel beer quality in there as well. So it can be very complex, wonderful stuff.
Now, with along with kombucha, there are people that say there are medical or medicinal properties of an active live vinegar. What's the word on the street, Amal?
Well, there are a couple of different bacteria that have health benefits. Obviously lactic acid bacteria are a very popular one in brewing for making sours. Acetic is a much sharper acid, so That's why brewers generally don't want that in their beer. But, you know, live active vinegar can be very good for you. And I know a lot of breweries use a purified form called peracetic acid for actually sanitizing. But obviously, and those have been purified and the bacteria have been killed off. So there's no cross-contamination risk there.
And similar with the health benefits, if you did do a pasteurization of the vinegar, then the potential health benefits, if you're looking to get live, you know, bacteria in your gut, if you pasteurize it, that's neutralized.
That is correct. But it may be preferable if you A, want a really shelf stable product, and B, don't want to accidentally let those live bacteria loose in your kitchen or brewery. So there are good reasons for pasteurization.
Good for your gut, but not necessarily for your your carboy or your brew pot.
Right.
So what have we missed? It sounds like other than making sure that your sanitization is 100%, it sounds like turning, you know, delicious or maybe not so delicious beer into vinegar is a fairly straightforward process.
It is. It's very easy to do. It just takes some patience. And if you experiment with different styles, you just have to realize that some work better than others. I have made vinegars out of beer that had just a little bit too much bitterness from hops. And they just didn't work, and I had to toss them. So, so pick something, you know, ideally malty, sweet, under-attenuated, and those tend to make some really nice malt vinegars.
Well, excellent. Well, in addition to your work and the publications, you are also a published author as well. What products have you got out?
Well, back in 2009, Charlie Papazian was doing a page-a-day beer calendar. He was doing reviews, and he just got too much on his desk. He asked me very nicely to help him out with those reviews, and I've been working on A Year of Good Beer. It's a page-a-day calendar from Workman Publishing, and I now am responsible for all content, and they make great gifts, so check it out.
And where can we find those? Just on Amazon or anywhere that fine beer-related books are sold?
Exactly. Yeah, Amazon, Barnes & Noble bookstores. And the 2021 is available now.
So what's the process in that? I mean, how do you gather the beers to review? I mean, do you have sources all over the country?
I try and sort of integrate my reviews with my travel. So I see family on the West Coast and East Coast and friends, and I try and do reviews while I'm there. I bring my iPad and get interesting beers from different places. There are a lot of great breweries here in Colorado, but the more beers I can get from different parts of the country, the more interesting the calendar is, I think.
For sure. I mean, it's a moving target nowadays. There's so many good breweries coming online.
It's not difficult to find great beer, just with distribution the way it is these days. But I also love the tiny hyper-local nano brewery beer too, because I want people to walk into those places and try their products.
Well, good for you. You're a brand ambassador to a lot of, well, I guess 365 breweries a year.
It doesn't work out to quite that many. There is other content in there, but yeah, at least about 250 reviews of beer. And I love supporting craft breweries all over the place. So it's a lot of fun.
Excellent. Well, this has been a lot of fun, and I hope that, we can get together again with another interesting topic in the future.
That sounds great, James. I really appreciate your asking me to partake this time.
Well, thanks again to Amal. Look for his Page a Day calendar called A Year of Good Beer. Man, I could go for a year of good beer. Maybe 2021 will be that. If you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, write to James at basicbrewing.com or just fill out the contact form on basicbrewing.com. And please don't forget to tell us where you're from. Check out our mobile-friendly shop at basicbrewingshop.com. Thanks to everybody supporting us through our Patreon page. Special goodies always coming your way. Check that out at patreon.com/basicbrewing. It's all until next time. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer. Production help for Basic Brewing Radio and our website is provided by Kelly Dotson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. Talk to you next time, everybody. In the meantime, stay well and stay tuned. So long.